Honeysuckle by Bar Fridmantel. Read by Katrin Walker Booth and Geraint Rees. For Rowie, I love you. And for Claire, I miss you.
Prologue. The sky is endless. All she can hear is the sway of flowers, the rustle of feathers, the soft, heavy sound of the snow settling a mere footstep away. And then, faintly, a damselfly wing brush of a sound. Her name. No, she thinks. No, please. Come back. The words are like fishing rods, lines arching to catch at her skin, ready to pull her down, down, down. Already mud is crawling up the arches of her feet, her toes, her ankles, as if preparing to hold her in place. There's a sinking sensation in her chest, the taste of leaf dust in her mouth, dry and ash-like. No, she thinks again, helplessly. But it's already too late. Part 1. They took the blossoms of the oak, and the blossoms of the broom, and the blossoms of the meadow sweet, and produced from them a maiden, the fairest and most graceful that man ever saw. And they baptized her, and gave her the name of Blodeuwedd. The Mabinogion, translated by Lady Charlotte Guest, 1877.
Chapter 1. Rory. Stop following me, Wynne said, not bothering to turn around. Rory took another step, his small shadow licking over his sister's heels. Rory, I'm serious. Stop following me, she said over her shoulder, stepping into the back garden. But Rory had nothing to do but follow. It was midday, the early summer heat lying heavy on the meadow, lush and golden. He had already eaten lunch, and the house behind them was silent but for the soft, lonely sounds of the dinner stew simmering on the stove. The afternoon was an infinite stretch, and the forest a cool pool of shade at the edge of the garden, emerald green and pine dark. What could he do but dive in after his sister? For all 8 years of Rory's life, it had always been Wynne and him. It never mattered before that she was 6.5 years older. The two of them crisscrossed the meadow in pursuit of bunnies and crouched over mushrooms in the forest, waded in forest pools after frogs, or lay down among the nodding white heads of daisies. For as long as he could remember, between the bunnies, the meadow, and his sister, big and brave and brimming with marvellous ideas, his days were full. But for months now, Rory had felt a change creeping. Wynne started disappearing for hours at a time, then days. A new generation of bunnies dotted the grass by the heather, but Wynne wasn't there to give chase. She was in her room, or the back garden, or nowhere at all, saying, I'm busy, or not right now, or go play somewhere else. Not always, but enough that Rory could feel the ground shifting under his feet. He started bringing her offerings. A fistful of dandelions, a cup full of tadpoles, two white branches with a keen resemblance to swords. But she would only glance down at whatever strange treasure Rory was extending and say, with a new and lofty disdain of her 15 years, I'm too old to play with that. Rory was reduced to slinking behind his sister